This is a taped interview with Mr. Bill Blackstock. Mr. Blackstock, could you tell me when and where you were born?
I was born in Hazleton. I was born and raised right here, you know, in the general vicinity. I lived in Hazleton all my life, practically, except for the few years that I was away, either in the Army or working. But I lived right in old Hazleton, started off with downtown. We didn't move up here until about 1933, I guess, or 35, somewhere around there. I forget just when we moved up to 2 Mile. But I've been here pretty well all my life in this general area, like, you know.
And when were you born?
Pardon?
When were you born?
I was born in Hazleton.
No, when?
1922. Mm. January 1922.
Where did you attend primary school?
Right in Hazleton.
In the building called the high school now?
Oh, no, hell. The first school I went to was down at the Anglican Church ran a school. I don't know what they use that building for right now. It's next door to the Anglican Church.
Mm.
It is, right behind the Anglican Church was where the public school was. That's where I went through my primary grades, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In high school, I started to go to high school. High school was in Hazleton. It wasn't in the same location as it is now. It was in a building, right next to where the liquor store is, the liquor store and the apartment complex. There used to be a building right in behind there. That's where the high school was. It was just that I quit before I even got started, actually.
Many things were different. Entertainment, work, education, and social activities when you were young. What are some of these differences?
Well, we had to make our own entertainment pretty well. There was nothing organized, you know. There was not like it is today. Everything's pretty well organized. You wanted to play ball, you just got a bunch of guys together, you know, a bunch of kids together, and played ball. There wasn't no rhyme or reason to it. And, mostly it was just, like I say, everything wasn't organized at all. There was nobody to organize anything like that. And we made our own activities. We joined in with any of the adult population, like, you know, whenever there was anything doing. Mostly as kids, we always found something to get into. But there was very little organized around here then. I'm just going back as far as about 1930. I was only about 8 years old then. But it wasn't until the 40s, I guess, that we started getting organized, and it was mostly playing ball with older kids. It was dancing, and, mostly we had improvised with everything, you know. Fishing and hunting, and that was more or less our activities in those days, you know, just hunting with slingshots, hunting squirrels, and rabbits, what have you. But there was no, I don't know, we seemed to find stuff to keep busy on, you know. But like I say, it wasn't, it's not like it is today where kids are, everything's pretty well organized for them. We had to make our own pastime, like, you know, we'd see a couple of kids hanging around, well, we'd say, let's get a ball game going or something, you know, that was about the way it went. And, of course, we were into a lot of people's hair, I guess, but we had very little, you know, that was organized. It was just, you had to make your own fun as kids. But there wasn't too much hair then.
In those days, did you have any school concerts?
Pardon?
In those days, did you have any school concerts?
I didn't get that.
In those days, did you have any school concerts?
School concerts, oh yes. We had, mostly Christmas, eh? We always had Christmas concerts, but that was about it. There was very little in the line of plays or anything like that. Otherwise, it was all, everything was focused on Christmas. And long about the 1st of November, I guess, everybody would start rehearsing for Christmas. But that was it. It was a big thing for kids and for everybody. The community always seemed to take part in anything like that, you know. And aside from that, like I say, we weren't too well organized. But as far as school activity was concerned, there was strictly learning to read and write and get into as much trouble as we could. No, the things are a lot different. They're a lot different then. And one-room schools, you know. There were no, like, you went to grade school, well, if you were in anywhere from kindergarten up to grade 8, was what they used to call public schools. And everybody was in the one-room, one classroom. Eh? You were separated, but you're all in the same room, and so up to that grade, and then after grade 8, well, then it was, you moved into a different building for more or less a high school, and, but it's not organized the way it is today. Like I say, it was, the town was a lot smaller, and population didn't call for that. Bigger schools they have today, and they were all, like I say, one-room schools. Either you went to public school, well, if you went to public school, well, all the grades from 1 to 8 were all in the same room, like, you know, and there's, of course, you were studying different subjects, but and the same with high school. When I went to high school down here, we were all in the one building in the one room, like, you know.
At first you didn't have electricity, right?
Pardon?
At first you didn't have any electricity.
Well, that was, I'd be very young then. No, there was no electricity here in Hazleton until around the 30s, I guess. I imagine it was Yeah, it'd be in the 30s when we had no electricity. Everything was battery operated. If you had a radio, even radios were, you know, well, we say you got transistors now, but in those days you had radios, but everything was battery operated.
Where were you during the war years?
Pardon?
Where were you during the war years?
Oh, during the war years, I was in the war. I was overseas mostly. I enlisted in 1940, and 1941 I went overseas, and I stayed in Europe for 5.5 years, I guess. I was in the Army here. I was in the services 6.5 years altogether, but most of my service was overseas. So. I came back whole and a hell of a lot wiser.
What did you do during the war?
Pardon?
Were you just a soldier?
What did I do?
Yeah, you were a soldier, right?
I was a soldier, yes.
Where did you work after you finished school?
After I finished school? I just worked around town with, mostly with Marshall Brothers. Marshall Brothers was, they had a trucking business there, and even during school, I used to work there after school. Pick up the dollar. And after I quit school, and I more or less worked for them steady, except for the times when I'd get jobs outside of town or something like that. I mostly worked around there. There wasn't that much work around here. It was either going out in the bush. There was a few pole camps here then, cutting cedar poles, and but that was all. There was no logging the way you see it today. And, it was just mostly cedar poles. And later on, sawmills came into being, but I never did work in sawmills. So after the war, I went into mining. I mined most of my life after that.
What was people's opinion of working women then?
Pardon?
What was people's opinion of working women then?
Working women?
Yes.
There was very few women working. I don't recall any women working in the stores, or even in the stores. It was mostly men, unless your father owned the store or something like that. Like the sergeants, they owned one store downtown here, one of the girls, she used to keep books down there, but that was in later years. And at first it was strictly a male world as far as work was concerned, you know. I think the only real working woman we had around here that I can remember was the postmistress. And aside from that, any store is a drug store, was a family business. You know, the man and his wife ran the store, and it was a male-dominated world in them days.
Do you have any children?
Do I have any children? No, I don't have no children.
Okay. Has the Hazel things changed since then?
How has it changed? Well, it's grown. It's grown. The population has grown, that's for sure. It's it hasn't really changed that much as far as, except like I say, the population has grown. It's more organized now and everything's, especially for the younger people, there's always lots, always seems to be lots to do for them. Not really that much, but it's at least they get to get out once in a while and go to different towns. We couldn't even leave Hazleton. Matter of transportation, eh? We had no transportation. Going to Kispiox for sports days, we used to all pile in the back of a 3-ton truck or something like that, you know, to go to the Kispiox sports days, you know, that was the only way we ever got around, unless you wanted to walk. And people living in Kispiox, they had to do their shopping in Hazleton, and they walked. You know, they walked into Hazleton to do their shopping. People from Glenval, the same way, they had to pretty well rely on the old feet to get any place. We didn't have no transportation at all. In the winter it wasn't too bad. Well, we had horses and sleighs, and you know, you can get around a lot easier in the wintertime than the summer. You know, even dogs were put to work, you know. We had a little, I had a dog there that I used to hook onto my sleigh and go for a little drive. That's what we call going for a drive. You see these kids with motorcycles and stuff today, well, all we had was a dog to drag us around. But I don't know, we coped all right. Well, we had to, we had nothing else. There was no money, you know, nobody had any money. It was, we always had a lot to eat, but as far as money was concerned, nobody had any. We grew all our own vegetables. And we lived off the land pretty well. We had to go out if you wanted meat, well, you had to go out and hunt it down in the bush. You know, most of the people here, in the summertime, we lived, our basic diet then was fish in the summer, eh? Fish and fruit, whatever the land had to give, we used it.
Did the Depression affect people around here much?
Pardon?
Did the Great Depression affect people around here?
The Depression,
much?
No. It didn't really, I don't think. I was quite young then, yeah, but I remember we were living over in the main place over there then, and I remember we even shared with the people in on the prairies. People used to drive around this area here with trucks, you know, picking up vegetables and whatever they could for the hungry in the east, like, you know, east of the Rockies. And, I guess it was going on all through British Columbia. We never really, no, the Depression never really hit us here that hard. Because like I say, I remember I was just old enough then, and I used to ask Dad, I said, "What are you selling those vegetables, you know?" And he'd say, "No." He said, "There's people going hungry in the other parts of the country, you know." And we're giving what we can, you know. That's the way things used to be here. I mean, there was no big government handouts or anything for anything, like, you know. Mm-hmm. I guess there was just no money in the country. And when the Depression hit, well, it didn't really bother us out in rural BC here anyway, you know. But like I say, we grew everything. And We went out in the bush and down to the rivers and caught our fish and hunted meat. And so it didn't really hit us here. I don't remember anybody around here going hungry unless they were just plain lazy, and, you know. But no, I don't really remember the depression because I was quite young and it didn't affect me. And like I say, it is during the 30s. But we always had lots to eat, I know that. Most families that I knew, there wasn't too many people here then, you know. And I don't remember anybody going hungry unless, like I say, they were just plain lazy and wouldn't get out and harvest. We lived on just what we grew, and there was no work. I know, I remember that. There was hardly any work. We always had lots to eat, you know. I don't think very many people around here. There was a few of the townspeople. They had to go on relief, like, you know, that's what they called it then. Today it's welfare. But I remember some people had to go on relief and get a little bit of help from the government, which wasn't very much. I think it amounted to about $10 or $15 a month or something like that then, you know. Mm. Of course, you could buy quite a bit with $10 then. But I don't think it really bothered us too much up here, the depression. Things here in this area, in Hazleton, there's no, I don't know, there's never any conflict between Indians and the white community, as far as I can remember, you know. We've always seemed to coexist, like, you know, we got along together. And there's been no conflicts of any kind, sure. There's always been politicians around trying to stir things up, but I don't know. There's been nothing really that it's just a community that's learned to coexist, as far as I can see, and that's pretty well what it is today. And you know, we help each other out during times of trouble, and it didn't matter what the color of your skin was. If you were in need, you got help, and you know, in times of trouble, we seemed to always stick together. And as far as any of the feasts and celebrations and stuff like that are concerned, I have never had much to do with them. Up until a few years ago, they used to have feasts for almost everything, like, you know. I was downtown on the reserve down there, and they used to have feasts for almost any occasion, like, you know, wedding feasts, and mostly for the elders dying off. They used to have really big feasts for them, but I never had much to do with any of that, and I can't tell you too much about them, but I don't know. The Indian ways, I remember when I was quite young, I went to them. My mother took us to this feast, and she said, "They're going to give you a name." Well, I never did know, find out what name they gave me. I was, like I say, I was pretty young, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And they had a feast, a clan on our family side, like, you know, it's a big feast, and
They never told you what your Indian name was?
Oh, they told me, but it's never really interested me, like, you know, it's something that, I've never lived on a reserve, for one thing, you see. When Dad was still alive, well, he moved us up here to Two Mile, eh? And we got away from a lot of that stuff in Old Town, he didn't want us taking part in it, and he said, you know, it wasn't that he didn't want to, but he just more or less...
He wasn't interested?
Pardon?
He wasn't interested?
Oh, no, it didn't bother me. I didn't understand what it was all about. Like I say, it was during those years that, I don't know, I was never really interested in any of it. I took part in some of it, you know, and I didn't realize what was going on or anything, and I knew they were having a lot of fun, and, well, I joined in the fun. Mm-hmm. That was all, as far as, you know, being kids, you know. You don't see that anymore. They used to have feasts and ceremonial dances. I remember them when I was quite young, and up on the hill there, we used to go up there, and we never took part in it. We used to just watch, you know. But, I don't recall too much about it, because, like I say, our family never took. My mother used to. She used to go and to these different feasts and different things that were going on. As kids, we never bothered too much, like, you know. Especially after we moved up here. Well, I was only about 10 or 11 years old when we moved up to Two Mile. We never were too busy at home here trying to garden and what have you, and we'd sneak off and play ball once in a while. No, I never really took part in any of that stuff at all. Even, well, when I was quite young, I guess, and I barely remember some of it, like, you know. I guess it would have been different if I'd have been brought up in the reserve, but we weren't brought up in the reserve, and we didn't. My mother, like I say, on my mother's side, well, she was interested in, and she took part in a lot of this stuff, but she never made us go with her or anything like that. If we wanted to go along with her to, you know, to some ceremonial or something that was happening, well, we'd go along. But I never paid no attention to it, eh? They'd all be inside doing their thing, and we'd be all outside playing, you know. It had no meaning for me, actually. I suppose today, even today, kids growing up, even on the reserve today, they have no idea what it, you know, what happened here during those years, like, you know. But, like I say, I was quite young when we moved up from Old Town, lived up in Two Mile, over where Karen's living now. And we had our homestead up there. That's where we were brought up pretty well. I often kicked myself for not learning more about our past life. But it didn't seem important to me then, and even today I'd like to know more about it. People have grown away from it, eh? You know, we've got away from it, and even today's generation downtown, you don't hear any more big feasts or anything like that, you know. Maybe out in the outlying villages, out in Kispiox and Skinner Crossing, they still have the odd one, very, you know. They're getting away from that now. I was never involved in too much in any of that stuff. But like I say, I could have been, I guess, but I, growing up the way, when I was quite young, I had to go to work. Dad died when I was about 12 or 13. Well, I had to get out and work, eh? I had to go out and look for a job, and there wasn't that many jobs around here. So I quit school and went to work, and in just about the time I was about 17, I guess, or 18, well, I joined the Army, and war had started in Europe, and of course I had to, I didn't have to, but I did, I joined the Army. And
so what countries did you get to?
Pardon?
What countries did you go to?
I wound up in England. Spent 2.5 to 3 years right in England itself, I guess. And then we went to North Africa, and from North Africa into Italy. We spent almost a year in Italy, I guess. Then we moved up into the main war zone. Well, it was all war zone, but I mean up into Germany, you know, up in that area, France and Germany. We moved up in there, and happily the war ended just shortly after we got up in that part of the world. But I spent a little better than six years in the Army, and most of it was over there. But we were plunked down in England, eh? We just waiting for something to happen, I guess. And I was.
What did you think of those countries?
Pardon?
Did you think of those countries?
Oh. Oh, I. They were war torn, you know. There was nothing there. You know, there was warriors, eh? There was absolutely nothing there. Their lifestyles were a lot different to ours, naturally, but as far as any social. We didn't see any of it because there was none, eh? Especially in. We were in North Africa for a while, and there was absolutely nothing there. The war had been going on there for quite some time before we got there. It was just about over. It already started going up into the mainland. And Italy, I liked Italy. It was there. We started off in the southern part of Italy, then moved north, but they were quite backwards in their mode of living, eh? There was, you know, they were still living in the 18th century or something like that. Of course, there was always that difference between the city and the country. The city living was fine, but we were never in the city, we were always out in the country. We went to the cities on holidays or on leaves and what have you. But you got to remember that during the war, eh, there was nothing any place, you know, over there. You they pretty well took what they had, and that was nothing. They had no food. We had to feed the, you know, help feed the poor and what have you, what little we had. And everything that was alive, like there was a lot of livestock that was just slaughtered needlessly, eh? You know, well, war was war. I mean, there were bombing and shelling and shooting the people there, how they managed to survive everything. Like being in the army, we never noticed it too much because all our needs were met, eh? You know, we had food, always had food. But you take those people, they didn't even have a government to look after them once their country was overrun, eh? And how they survived, I really, it's just a miracle. It's devastating to think about it. War is an awful thing. I think back on it sometimes, you know, and I just have to shake my head, and especially for little wee kids, you know, they had nothing, eaten out of garbage cans. I've seen kids lined up behind our cookhouse, you know. And they'd actually fight over stuff that we'd thrown in the slop cans, you know. You know, leftovers from our dinner while when you were finished your meal, you went out and you scraped out your mess cans into the slop buckets. I've seen kids and grown-up people just fighting over scraps like that, you know. They had nothing. There was nothing for them. But I mean, what could we do? We just couldn't. It was terrible. It was especially for the children. I used to feel sorry for kids going hungry like that. Yet, you know, we were just a small group of men. We had a job to do, and we didn't have that much food ourselves. You know, our army rations were quite meager. But I wouldn't want to go through it again. I wouldn't want anybody to go through this, what we went through. You know, I hear some of the older guys talking about the First World War and what they went through, and boy, I'm telling you, I thought we had it tough, but they had it a lot tougher than we did. But it was hell on earth, that's what it was. It just breaks your heart. A lot of suffering for nothing, you know. People, innocent people, you know. Especially the children, like I say, you see kids going hungry and like starving, you know, and no clothes on them hardly, and a few rags held together by, I don't know. It was terrible. I survived it, but how, I don't know. It wasn't good management, that's for sure. I drank quite heavy. Well, everybody did, during the war. I didn't like drinking. I never did like drinking, but I learned to like it during the war because it dulled your senses. You didn't give a hoot, you know, what happened. That's why a lot of us turned to drink during the war. Just the horror of it, you know. I mean, no sane person could live through a thing like that unless he was drunk or crazy or something, you know. And it was terrible at times. Can you imagine yourself sitting here and somebody lobbing a shell over here, a mortar, you know, and planes flying over dropping bombs? You know, it's... that was what we had to go through, and a lot of people said, especially right after the war, all us guys coming back from overseas were nothing but a bunch of drunkards. Well, that's the only way we survived, you know. Some people, sure, they got through the war without drinking, but a big majority of any soldiers that were up the front line, you know, up where the fighting was, you couldn't do it sober. You had to either be on drugs or drunk, or, you know. A lot of people say, oh, he's a pretty brave man. Well, he was probably pretty brave, but he was probably drunk when he done it, you know, or drugged up or something. A lot of people don't realize that. No sane person at all could walk into, you know, walk into some of the spots we did, you know, unless you were drunk and didn't give a hoot. There was the odd, genuine case of bravery, I guess, but a big majority. But I know, like, the guys I served with and the people around me, they're, like I say, we lived on booze pretty well, you know, kept us going. So there might be one man in 100 that never drank when they were over there, like, you know. It was savage. No, I wouldn't want to, I don't want to even go through anything like that again. I wouldn't want anybody, if I had any children and they were going to join the army, I'd take a gun and shoot them first, I think. But, no, conflict like that didn't prove nothing.
And no one really won.
Pardon?
And no one really won.
No. No, it ruined my life, I know that, as far as, you know, even after I got back, well, I'd lost practically 7 years of my life, eh? I came back home here, I didn't know what to do with myself. I had no occupation, I'd worked part-time around town, like I was saying previously there, I'd worked. But I had no occupation. The only real occupation I ever had was in the army. Once they booted us out of the army, well, we came back home here, and what are we going to do now? What am I going to do now? You know? Well, we just had to pick up where we left off and find odd jobs here and there, and finally I went into mining, and I was all right after that. I mined for about close to 20 years, I guess. Worked in different mines throughout BC. But, like I say, the years in the army was disastrous for me. I don't know, I just couldn't seem to make a go of anything. I drank too much. And like, that was a carryover from the Army, eh? You know, from the war years. I learned to drink in the Army. I had to drink when I was in the Army. Otherwise, I couldn't have done some of the things that I did, you know. Once I got home, they were like, I say, I went to work all right, but it came to weekends and holidays, and all I could do was get drunk. I couldn't enjoy myself unless I was drunk. So, you know, it just spoiled the rest of my life. And I know a lot of veterans too, you know, a lot of veterans have went through it. Some of them made the readjustment and no problem at all, but for me it was, I don't know. Even though I made myself a good living at times, but I just couldn't seem to settle down to anything like, you know. It's been quite a struggle. Now I'm old and gray, and I'm hanging on till the Grim Reaper calls.